Hi everyone, we're going to read the Bible together now. Today's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 22 to 25. If you read along with me. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Well, hi everyone. My name is Garnet. I'm the lead pastor at Christ Central. And, you know, what can I say? You know, you guys there have become distance learners. I've become this distance preacher and pastor. You know, as James said before, you know, gathering like this, it's a bit of a poor imitation, really, of what we want to be doing as a church. But still, it's really good that I can have this time with you. Before we get into this part of 1 Peter, I'm going to pray. So I invite you to pray with me if you'd like to do that. So let's talk to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that you're giving us. We thank you for the gift of your word. And we do pray that the reality and the truth of Jesus would come sink into our hearts and our minds, that we would be transformed and that you would keep transforming us so that we'd live lives that bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, when all this COVID stuff is over, we're going to have a party, aren't we? You know, the celebration that is about, you know, being a corona loner is finally over. I mean, how good is it going to be? You know, I'm just thinking about my church family and the fact that we can eventually be together. I mean, just thinking about it actually sort of brings a bit of a tear to my eye. But what are you looking forward to? Perhaps it's just the idea of getting out to the shops, maybe going to school. Maybe it's seeing your kids or your grandkids for the first time in a long time. Maybe it's just the idea of sort of busting out of your house. Maybe you're sick of doing puzzles and tours around your backyard already. But we want this to be over, don't we? We hope that this will be over. And it's hope that keeps us going. It's with hope that we go through this time now with the prospect that it'll be over later on. So I want to talk to you today about hope. How in this letter of 1 Peter, in this very first chapter of 1 Peter, in fact, it's saturated with words about hope. But it's not just hope to get us through this time of COVID-19, but a hope to take us through any experience of suffering and hope that will rescue us from death itself. And a hope that produces perseverance through hard times. Yes, a hope that produces perseverance through hard times, but more than that, a hope that produces love in hard times. Now, today we've come to the end of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. But I want us to do a little bit of sort of backtracking to see how much this first chapter is about hope. Let's retrace some things. Like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says there, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, this is like a summary verse for the rest of the letter, a living hope. This is saying a beautiful, eternal future has been secured for us because Jesus died and he rose again. And that eternal future has brought into our present, has been brought into our present reality because Jesus was raised. The future has arrived. Death has been defeated. Death has no power. With faith in Jesus, united to him, we have a living hope. And then this passage talks about this living hope, this future focus we now live with. Peter writes in the next verse, "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you." In fact, talking about hope, this is actually Peter's favorite word almost about hope, when he says, that which will not and never perish. Our future eternal inheritance in heaven will never perish. So in this first chapter, Peter keeps talking about what will perish and what will never perish. He says, verse 7, these have come, and that's times of suffering. So times of suffering have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, as we wait for this final future revealing of Jesus, even as we go through suffering, our faith will not perish. Now, that's an awesome promise. Then we have verse 18 where it says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So we've been redeemed by the imperishable and precious blood of Jesus. See, Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. For you and me, he paid the price for our shame. He paid the price for us really sticking our fingers up against the holy God and thinking we can live life our own way. He paid the judgment price for us. So when you belong to Jesus, nothing can take away from the salvation we have in Jesus. As we look ahead, as we live in these last times and look ahead, we have hope. And now then, on to Peter's favorite word, talking about this hope, this time in the passage we're looking at today, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Here the imperishable thing is the word of God. The gospel, the good news of Jesus who died for us and rose again. He shed his blood for us, but he's been raised to life. So what we've seen in retracing our steps back through 1 Peter is that when you have Jesus, our hope is imperishable. Secured by Jesus' death in our place and his resurrection to new life. So we've been saved by something that is imperishable. We've been saved for something that is imperishable, and nothing can take this away. This is our hope, a living hope. So I want to ask you, you know, just over the last couple of weeks we've all been going through, where has it been shown to you where you've been placing your hope, but it's not as sure and as certain as you thought? I mean, haven't we all just faced the shock of all those things that we thought were pretty solid in our life, in fact, is pretty fragile? You know, business and jobs aren't as imperishable as we thought. You know, people queuing up for government assistance, businesses to stay afloat need government help. And then it comes back to, you know, how we pay our rent and our mortgages. The supposed solid houses we live in aren't as imperishable as we thought. Anyone who's got a mind for shares or needing to live off their superannuation, the promise of sure returns is not as imperishable as we thought. I mean, the supply chain of goods is not as certain, as imperishable as we thought. I mean, evidence of that is empty shelves with no toilet paper. You know, governments and supermarkets had to come out and sort of dampen down all the panic. It's okay. We've got supplies. And of course, we stay indoors. We stay away from each other. We stay apart. We now can't be even certain about the air we breathe. We wonder, am I going to catch the coronavirus? Let's be honest, these things that are part of our sort of daily routine, sense of security and hope, but it's incredible how it's all been flipped upside down. How perishable these things now seem to us. Now, a bit of perspective for 1 Peter. See, at the time, Peter is writing to Christians in first century Roman Empire, And they are now facing growing persecution. I'm not talking about people thinking you're stupid because you're a Christian. I'm talking about being dragged out of your house, you and your family members being threatened. You know, under sadistic Emperor Nero, Christians became human skewers. They became snack time for lions in the Colosseum as entertainment for the crowds. See, in that context, Peter is telling these real suffering Christians that this world is perishable. It's fleeting. It's temporary. And Peter then gives this illustration to show how perishable things are. And what he's doing here is he's quoting from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, and he says, "For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." See, Peter is comparing ourselves, our bodies, to grass and flowers. Point is, you can look pretty good for a time, and we can delude ourselves into thinking that nothing will touch us, but then age comes, and then the thought of disease comes to our very front door, and then we realize, like grass or like flowers, we wither, we fall. But Peter's telling us, but the word of the Lord, the good news, endures forever. During the week, I asked the folk of Christ Central to send in a pic of their flowers from their backyard or their neighbourhood. Thanks to everyone who sent something in. Great pictures. Just check them out. Familiar faces for some of us. Lovely to see kids and adults. Cool to see what people have in their yards. Beautiful flowers. Pictures of family. Great to see people getting out in the sunshine, and we have the picture of the youngest member of Christ Central, beautiful baby Claire. Hi, Ewers. Lovely to see people from church, see their faces. What a good thing we can actually get out a bit and be in our gardens, go for a walk. How's that for beautiful flowers? But I just want to show you two last photos now. See, there's Stefan showing us where all his flowers went during the week. The rubbish heap. And my favourite picture of all this week is Leon with the saddest, most pathetic flower I've ever seen in my life. How scary is that? Leon says, apparently it needed water. I guess it would have been a nice flower. Now just looks really creepy. Flowers look great for a time, don't they? But then they waste away. You know, have you ever smelt of rotten flowers? How disgusting. We are all like rotten, creepy flowers. We don't last. Nothing lasts. What we rely on and pin our hopes on doesn't last. With COVID-19 bringing so much shock to us, this is a time to realize this. Now, I want to share with you a story from a Christian from England in the late 1700s. He was a Christian who didn't face persecution, but he did face plague. His name was Henry Venn, a minister in country England. His wife died. He had to raise his 5 children himself. He decided to give his kids this amazing teaching moment. So he actually took his 5 kids to this miserable hovel of a home where a man named Abraham Midwood lived and was going to die in great pain. When they got there, Henry Venn said, "Abraham Midwood, I brought my children here to shew them that it is possible to be happy in a state of disease and poverty and want, and now tell me if that is not so." And this was Abraham's reply. "Oh yes, sir. I would not change my state with that of the richest person upon earth who was destitute of those views which I possess. This is nothing to bear, whilst the presence of God cheers my soul and whilst I can have access to him by constant prayer through faith in Jesus. Indeed, sir, I'm truly happy and I trust to be happy and blessed through eternity. And I every hour thank God who has brought me from a state of darkness into his marvellous light and has given me to enjoy the unsearchable riches of his grace." Now that's quite a lesson for a dad to teach his children, isn't it? And it's a lesson for us as well. Now Abraham Midwood knew it. We need to know it. All people are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You know, so much can and will be taken from us. All those temporary things, job, house, health, family, life, all those things can be taken away, but what will never be taken away is the glorious and eternal reality that Christ Jesus has rescued us, an eternal, imperishable hope, a living hope. So I said at the start, hope allows us, gives us perseverance. We look ahead, so it gives us the energy to keep going through hardship and suffering. That's true. But this passage is saying more than that. And this is where I want us to finish with today. See, the Apostle Paul is saying from hope in the midst of suffering and loss springs love for others in the midst of suffering and loss. Check out this passage. We have verse 22, which talks about love, and we'll get to that. But see how verse 23 connects with what's just been said about love? It has those two words, for you. In other words, because you. Because you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God, love. See, hope generates love. Being born again into a living hope in Jesus Christ, that is the seed from which bears the fruit of love. Now, let's read this verse about love. It says, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. From hope springs love, deep, sincere love. Now, I just want to say, as we live in the shadow now of COVID-19, we have an opportunity here to be realistic and honest about the human heart and the call on God's people to be people of love. I'll put it like this. Left to ourselves, human nature, we are not naturally people of self-sacrificial love. We are actually greedy and self-centered and fearful. You know, evidence. Look at empty shelves with no more toilet paper. Think about it. We've all gone through the shock at this time, but empty toilet paper, shelves of empty toilet paper, is a window into what we're really like when suffering comes. We want to look after ourselves. People might say, well, there's lots of acts of kindness going on around the place. People sharing their toilet paper. And, you know, look back at those bushfires, you know, that thing that was going to end the world back in February. Look at the bushfires, the fires, Aussies being good mates with one another. Sure. But I don't think any of that takes away from the fact that the Bible x-rays our hearts to say we are naturally self-centered and we want to look after ourselves. When suffering and pain comes to our door, when there's the fear of shortages, what do? When there's money to be handed out, but it's for those at the front of the queue, not at the back of the queue, well, where in the queue do we want to stand? Right now, we're living in a time of pandemic. And I'm talking about an anxiety pandemic. And it reveals what's really going on in our hearts. And with anxiety and pressure, we tend to look after ourselves. But these words in 1 Peter are saying, when we're born again, in other words, when we're made new through the gospel of Jesus Christ, like Kylian said before, it's not something on the outside, but it's something on the inside that God does through the gospel on our hearts. This is conversion, born again. But when we're born again of God, it produces a love for others. This is saying a sincere love for one another, a deep love for one another. Now, verse 22 here is mainly a word about love amongst God's people, Christians. And I think it's in the church when we can see sincere and deep love. Because I'm talking about ongoing community here. A love that goes beyond the latest news cycle to grab our attention. Not just a helping hand, you know, Aussie mateship during a flood, a fire, or COVID-19. But a love for one another where we give of ourselves in deep relationships, in community, with each other, in the midst of suffering and pain. And there's lots of talk right now about community, isn't there? You know, there's a sign out the front of the supermarket that says, we're here for your community, for our community. You know, a shop that says, we're here for our community. I'm not their community, I'm their customer. You know, a community is a place like church, where there's young and old, and rich and poor, and every personality trait, and different likes and dislikes, different political leanings, and we're bound to irritate each other. But we do this Christian life together. That's community. So it's amongst Christians we're called to have this sincere and deep love. Do you see how this anxiety pandemic drives us to look out for ourselves, number one, but to be born again into a living hope where our future is secure? That hope drives us to love others deeply. You know, when our hope is fixed on our imperishable inheritance to come, we're not as scared to share our stuff, like toilet paper or food or medicine, because we know in the end we're not going to miss out. We don't have to boast and call attention to ourselves, because we know in the end we're not going to miss out. We can take criticism without defensiveness, because looking to the future, when we'll experience perfect acceptance, we're not going to miss out. We can spend time and energy in serving others and looking out for other people's needs, because we know in the end we're not going to miss out. See how fear and anxiety, it's actually anti-community. But hope, a sure and living hope, gives birth into a way of love. In this time of hardship, there's plenty of opportunities and will be opportunities for us to love and love each other deeply and sincerely. In fact, Christians over centuries have been known by their love in the midst of disease and pestilence. Some of you might have seen an article going around this week, but historians say that in the mid-third century, the deadliest disease pandemic in its history came to the city of Rome. In their graph, if they did a graph, their peak was at about 5,000 people dying a day. 5,000 people dying a day, day after day after day. And in the midst of that, Christians responded in this very unique way. Now, Emperor Julian wanted to curb the growth of Christianity, so he tried to establish all these pagan charities to mirror what the Christians were doing. In a letter, he complained about the growth of Christianity. In his complaint, Emperor Julian said this: their benevolence, their care for the graves of the dead, their pretended holiness. He said, it's a disgrace that the Christians support their poor and ours as well. Christians have a track record of being uniquely Christian in times of disease. What will sincere and deep love look like, say, in our growth groups? What will sincere and deep love look like amongst people who are older than you and younger than you? What will sincere and deep love look like to those who you know suffer with mental illness? What will sincere and deep love look like for us in our own period of self-isolation? With our living hope, what will it mean to love? Let me just make this a bit practical. What are three things you can do this week to live out this call for sincere and deep love? Three things. One, two, three. Please do some thinking about this. Make this list. So even by the end of the day, even choose one of these things to do today, so that by the end of today, you only have two things to do this week. But in this time of self-isolation and economic stress and anxiety, let's actually choose to do three things to demonstrate love this week. You know, I came across a great quote this week by a guy named Edmund Clowney, who's a Christian writer. He commented on this verse in 1 Peter about the living hope and being born again and love. And he said this: Christian love may be demonstrated by a hug, a holy kiss. I guess he didn't know about self-isolation and then, but he said, you know, demonstrated by a hug, a holy kiss, or a helping hand, but Christian love cannot be transmitted that way. Christian love is born, as Christians are born, through the truth of the gospel. Christian love is born, as Christians are born, and then it's a love to live out in action in the uniqueness of Christian community and amongst others, even in a time of suffering. Hope changes everything. We live with a imperishable living hope. Hope for what Jesus has achieved for us on the cross and through his resurrection to life. A hope that no hardship can ever take away, not even in death. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the living hope that is ours through Christ Jesus, through him dying in our place, through him being raised to life. And Father, as we experience this new birth into living hope, may it be issue forth through with love for one another. Help us to be a community that loves one another in practical ways, in sacrificial ways, in real ways, that demonstrates that we have been born again. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.